deep in the heart of Warren National Park, surrounded by 2,982 hectares of towering carry trees, who knows what you might find around the next bend in the path. Now, we'd like to take you truly off-road. We're going to get up close and personal with the carry forest. Thanks for joining us on the Carry Forest Explorer. You've now reached the Warren Lookout. Just look at that vista stretching out in front of you. The Warren River snaking off into the distance, the stands of carry looming on either side, and the mist rising in the distance. How exactly do we know what we're looking at in this wild place? We ask Rod Anear to fill us in on the special aspects of the Carry Forest.
To me, the trees themselves are one of the most amazing things because they're just so big. They're one of the three largest trees in the world. There's only two other trees anywhere that grow bigger than they do. They're just so massive, and it's not until you actually go and stand next to one and try and put your arms around one and just see how big they really are.
Take a look at the stand of carry trees in front of you. Trees in this area are protected because it was deemed that they were of a particularly good quality. Rod, what else can you tell us about the carry trees and the forest in this area?
Carry trees have a beautiful pale smooth bark and a very long straight trunk with no branches until, especially in the old ones, probably about 30 metres up. The other trees that you're going to see around the drive that you can see as you're driving along now, you'll see jarrah trees, which look a bit like a stick of celery, and they have very small gum nuts. But the marri trees, they're the old gnarly ones with the branches that are all curved and bent and wobbly, and they have great big honky nuts underneath and lots of sap usually laying around on the ground.
The Warren is a particularly lush forest, being old growth, but one must always be aware of the role of the animal inhabitants of the Warren and try not to step on their toes. Colin Drafty Hunter, who worked for the Forestry Department for many years in the Warren, told us some hairy stories about the wildlife.
Oh, well, there's one about the Marin there, you know. One day I cut myself, see, so I went down to the river to wash it up, and there was two loads of tourists come down from Victoria, and they said, "Oh, you poor man, what happened to your arm?" Well, I said, "Oh, not much." I said, "I just come down for a drink of water, and this bloody big marin come out of the water, grabbed me by the arm and tried to drag me under the water." Well, they run back up the bank and said, "We're not stopping out here."
Thank you for your company on the Carry Forest Explorer. This is the last radio stop, or perhaps for you, it's not. If you've just discovered Carry Forest Explorer, you can continue your tour. The next stop is Gloucester Tree. If you're not quite ready to go, don't worry. There's plenty more information coming up, and plenty of things to do and see in the Warren.
The Conservator of Forests back in 1899, J. Edney Brown, thought the Warren to be so beautiful, he was inspired to write the following.
"This undoubtedly is the best home of the tree, and although there may be places where there are larger members of the species, to my mind, the ranges and plateaus upon the Warren River contain the best forest of this remarkable tree."
A later Conservator of Forests, C. E. Lane Poole, wrote in 1917 regarding this very fact.
"The history of this reserve is of particular interest, and it shows how little was thought of carry some years back. All Class A reserves are dedicated to a certain object, and with this one, the object was to preserve an area of carry in order that visitors in years to come might still be able to see what a carry tree looked like. It was supposed in those dark ages, when the forests of carry were regarded simply as an encumbrance to be cleared and destroyed to make room for settlement, that the million-odd acres covered by this timber would be denuded and farmed."
In the past, Aboriginal people very rarely visited heavily forested areas such as this, because they believed that Wernya, the Warra spirit, lives here. They would only go along the ridges where they could get some sunlight and see the sky. However, they do tell many stories about the forest. Noel Nanup and Terry Kudder Cornwall, whose ancestors hail from this area, tell this story of the tallness of the trees, the rain and the storm clouds.
Kaya kaya. That means hello in Noongar language. And my name is Kudder. And Noongar language, Kudder means friend or mate. At the point in time when this story begins, there's nothing on earth. It is all flat and it's featureless. And all the spirits are gathered going through the process of elimination. As to which one of them will win the right to care for everything. Eventually people won the right to become the carers of everything. And a great spirit woman became the first to wander the land. She was so tall, and she had beautiful, long, flowing white hair we call Jundal. All around her on earth, she could see little tiny eyes blinking, and she just had to know what those eyes were. She was very impatient. She couldn't wait for Waits the Emu to come back and tell her what they were. She wandered over to those little eyes, and she picked a pair of them up. And when she could see what they were, she started to shake, she started to tremble, tremble with emotion, for it was a little child. So strong was this emotion that she couldn't put the little child back in the soil. So she put in her hair, this beautiful long white hair that we call Jundal. Then she collected more children. And this great spirit woman, she left off the stone into the sky and she became the Milky Way. And all the bright stars represent the spirit children that she collected. All the streaks that you see in the Milky Way here are the strands of her long white hair, Jundal. After she became the Milky Way, she realized that she could never walk on Earth again. That would be her punishment. And so she made sure that some of these trees would grow very tall, like the ones you see in this area around you now. She made them grow so tall that sometimes they would extend above the cloud, and she would come down and sit on top of the clouds, and she'd pat the top of the trees, and she'd cry, because she knew that she would never have the opportunity to actually walk on the ground and sit in the shade of these magnificent big trees. She would cry, cry, and cry. And in our language, we call that Ngani Barang, Barang Kep, the crying rain. This story explains why the rain falls so often over this forest. As you look out over the valley now, just imagine that great spirit woman sitting up there on the clouds, patting and crying. Of course, there are days that you won't be able to see this. There will be days when it's fine and sunny, and you see trees beyond. And for these times, we tell another story.
I just want to share this little story with you. It's a story about this place. Once a great serpent created the valley that you see below, where the river now runs, and also pushed up the hills on both sides. This is the Wagal, the creation serpent. The great spirit woman who leapt into the sky off the stone knew she could never walk on the earth again, so she decided she would come back as another serpent. This spirit woman represents everything that is right. So she came back as a beautiful serpent with all the colours of the rainbow. And she brought fresh water with her. She made sure that she never meets up with the other serpent that's already here on the earth. Because that serpent is angry and aggressive, because it can never become real. It represents wrong and evil. There are occasions when they meet. It's usually out in the ocean. And when they meet, they fight. And the fighting is so strong and so violent that the black clouds form out over the sea. And as the clouds rise into the sky, The lightning flashes and the thunder roars. These great serpents roll across the sky towards the land, driven towards the trees that produce the beautiful oxygen. These tall, magnificent trees that you see here. When they reach there, the bad wagle has only one intention, and that's to smash the tops off the tree, because it knows that the spirit woman will come down and sit on top and pat those trees and cry, Ngayini, Boromke, the crying rain. Look out across the vista you see here. See those clouds forming in the distance? Just imagine the serpents rolling across towards you, over the top, bringing the lightning, the thunder, and the rain. This is one of the things we tell about this place. This is its story.
Isn't it amazing how stories such as this bring nature to life? Looking at the huge trees around you, it's easy to imagine the great spirit woman willing them to grow so tall so that she could sit on the treetops. If you drive a little further along the Karri Forest Explorer, you'll find signs pointing to an exceptionally tall tree. The Dave Evans tree is one of the tallest in the park. It can be climbed for a bird's eye view of the surrounding Karri Forest. This tree was not one of the famous fire lookout trees of the Karri Forest. The bicentennial tree was actually pegged with a ladder specifically for the purposes of tourism. Or you can walk there. The walk trail from here to the tree is very pleasant. The start is opposite the lookout. If you're interested in taking a look at this remarkable Karri specimen, follow the signs from the Karri Forest Drive you've been following thus far. It's quieter than the Gloucester tree as far as tourists go, and you'll get a great view and some fantastic photo opportunities from the top. Colin Drafty Hunter, a local legend and Forestry Department and CALM employee for over 45 years, recollects his time working in the forest in the Warren, and specifically at the bicentennial tree.
Well, I reckon that's one of the best spots in the southwest. The surroundings, you know, really good there. You can see the Yigger up sand dunes on a good hot day. You can see it plain as anything. Well, I used to go up to show the tourists and take some of them up with me. You know, they wouldn't go up unless I went with them, and then they'd go up, see?
Right.
And a lot of schools used to go out there and have their breakfast out there.
Mm.
And then I used to go up to 25 metres and let them come up to me, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of them used to do that. Mm.